You're listening to the summary of the interview. For a link to the full-length episode, please check the description below. Welcome to another episode of Investing in Regenerative Agriculture, Investing as if the Planet Mattered, a podcast show where I talk to the pioneers in the regenerative food and agriculture space to learn more on how to put our money to work to regenerate soil, people, local communities, and ecosystems while making an appropriate and fair return. Why am I focused on soil and regeneration? Because so many of the pressing issues we face today have their roots in how we treat our land, grow our food, and what we eat. And it's time that we, as investors, big and small, and consumers, start paying much more attention to the dirt/soil underneath our feet. Before we get started, I've been recording these interviews next to my day job, and I will definitely continue to do so, and release about an episode a month. But at the same time, I would love to take this further, share more interviews. There are many more stories to share on investing in regenerative food and agriculture. More depth, improve the quality, maybe even doing some video series. So I started a Patreon community, which makes it easy to support creators like myself. If these podcasts have been of value to you, and if you have the means, I invite you to support me and make this happen. For more information, please find the link to my Patreon account in the description below. And now, without further ado, the interview. Enjoy! You'll be listening to an interview with Chuck, an ex-investment banker who turned regenerative farmland manager. He talks about one of the great bottlenecks of scaling the regenerative agriculture business: the shortage of good, professional regenerative farmland managers and the role of retail and processing companies in this transition.
Very quickly, a light bulb went up in my head where I realized that obviously there are clear environmental benefits and social benefits for regenerating land, whether it be through livestock management or through any form of regenerative activity. But economically, if you can buy a marginal asset which is unproductive and transform it not only into a fertile piece of ground, but also have an operation that is yielding cash flows on it, then you're very powerfully aligning environmental outcomes and good financial performance. And the moment you demonstrate that the right economic choice is regenerative, you have the potential to completely transform how capital is allocated in agriculture. And there are trillions of dollars allocated throughout the agriculture value chain. If you want to drive meaningful environmental change, you're going to need to make it more profitable than the current state of affairs. Our approach has always been to look at these operations and incrementally change them as to not compromise cash flow generation. Typically, what we do is we look at the agrochemical package that is currently being applied on the land. And through a more fine-tuned analysis of what the plant requires in terms of nutrition and protection, adapt a package that is all too often very standard and very conventional to the plant's needs. That will immediately allow for some savings to occur. And part of those savings, we flow back to the owners of the farm. Another part of those savings, we reinvest in trial areas to demonstrate that the regenerative practices will deliver better financial outcomes. So we'll plant a cover crop, we'll apply some compost, we'll invest in some no-till equipment, and really try to demonstrate as fast as possible that no short-term economic impact, negative economic impact, was necessary to kickstart a transition and to continue that transition. The idea is really to get the landowners or the farm managers that are on location convinced about the merits of our approach. And unless they can really see it for themselves, the risk of setting yourself up to fail is very big. So that initial trial period for us is necessary simply in order to have the right relationships with the farm managers. For us, we have five principles, and we should build this into some form of a common definition of regenerative agriculture. These principles are minimal land disturbance, permanent cover of the soil with vegetation, maximization of biodiversity in time, which means rotations, but also in space, which means companion crops. And it also means the introduction of ruminants, livestock in the system. And the last piece is what we call context-specific design. And this draws from the principles of permaculture. And we try to apply really an adaptation of the production unit to its environment, to the topography, to the climate, to the features of the landscape on large-scale farms. It's just as important to have an extremely professional farmer as to have a regenerative farmer. You need to trust him or her, and this person needs to be able to execute a plan.
In very challenging circumstances.
The isolation and the willingness to be different is probably the most complex piece. But you need to add on top of that that this person needs to be financially literate. You know, when we're raising capital, we talk about regenerative agriculture, but from the point of view of the farmer that's day in, day out practicing this thing, it's still a very different reality. And it's very clear that we need to open our eyes to what their reality is, but it's just as true that they need to be open to what the investor's reality is and what the investor's expectations are. We have realized that the farmers usually are very good at controlling their costs, very good at optimizing their volumes. But when it comes to price, most farmers are still price takers. What we believe is, you know, a plant grown in a healthy soil will have a greater ability to metabolize complete protein chains, will have an ability to metabolize the plant secondary metabolites, or what is more commonly called essential oils that are responsible for the flavors, but also some of the health benefits that we recognize in fruits. And so when we say that a fruit has lost, you know, X amount of its nutritional value since the moment our grandparents were eating, were our age, sorry, what we mean is that the soil is not alive enough to allow the plant to feed itself from it and to metabolize its minerals into full protein chains and complete plant secondary metabolites.
We need to be ready when the sector changes, and the sector meaning the food sector, when the farm to fork, which now somehow stops at the farm gate, but the farm to fork movement starts looking at nutrient-rich food or dense food, so looking more and more at taste, which you see already a bit, and that line between healthy soil, healthy plants, healthy produce and healthy gut, and thus healthy people, becomes a much straighter one in the next, let's say, hopefully 5 years. We need to be ready to supply that demand, which is probably going to get quite big.
We often say with the team here that farmers could come to regenerative agriculture for the premium and stay for the cost savings. I would encourage investors to meet with regenerative farmers and to have meaningful conversations with them, because it's still a work in progress. And there's a lot that's being invented. I would also talk to the investors that have already a few years behind their belt with capital allocated into these projects, to understand from them, you know, a few years down the road, what they've benefited and where they feel improvement is still needed.
And final question, if you could wave your magic wand and you could change one thing, so if you could change one thing in the regenerative ag space overnight.
A metric to measure the carbon we store in our soils. Are you adding carbon to your soil sustainably?
Or not.
Yeah. And if it's true that the soil is the biggest carbon sink on our planet, then it's urgent that we find a straightforward way to measure it.
Just listen to the summary of the interview. For the full-length interview, please find the link in the description below. If you found the Investing in Regenerative Agriculture and Food podcast valuable, there are a few simple ways you can use to support it. Number one, rate and review the podcast on your podcast app. That's the best way for other listeners to find the podcast, and it only takes a few seconds. Number two, share this podcast on social media or email it to your friends and colleagues. Number three, if this podcast has been of value to you and if you have the means, please join my Patreon community to help grow this platform and allow me to take it further. You can find all the details on patreon.com/regenerativeagriculture or in the description below. Thank you so much and see you at the next podcast.